Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about the early concepts of the metric system this week.
We did.
This is one of those subjects that when I read it, I'm going to confess, I feel like the stupidest stupid of stupid town, because just my brain would never go, you know what we should do? We should measure the earth and then slice up part of it and make that how we measure everything. Like, yeah. I cannot fathom being in that headspace.
Right. For a long time, I had on my episode shortlist something about the kilogram, including the physical object that's sort of the embodiment of the measurement of a kilogram. And I just couldn't ever find an approach to it that made it an episode.
Right.
We were also talking in this episode about
a base 8 system.
Yeah. So when I was in college, I went to a liberal arts university. And people who were majoring in math or one of the hard sciences, or maybe a social science that involved a lot of statistics, they would take math classes that met their general education requirements that were things like calculus and statistics and whatever. But then those of us who were studying literature or another language or something else, who did not have a need in their curriculum for that kind of math, and also maybe like me have always struggled with math, we gravitated toward this class that was called The Nature of Mathematics, which was a really interesting class that included about a lot of stuff about things like ancient number systems, and a lot of what we do is in a base 10 number system. We count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That starts the next set, right? Mm-hmm. So base 10 number system's pretty easy to wrap your head around. Base 60, kind of easy, because that's how we measure time, with there being 60 minutes in an hour. But then there were some that we talked about that were in base 12, and it hurt my mind to try to think about it. It was so interesting. I would just be trying to count in whatever, whatever non-10 units those were.
Right.
And it just hurt my brain. And so when we were talking about that in this episode, I was like, that reminds me of the nature of mathematics.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not going to use this opportunity to once again say, I think we should be on metric time, but I do. But because it, I mean, if you think about it, like, oh no, that's fine. We'll do. We'll do all of these physical measurements on a base 10 system, but then base 60 with 12 and 12 as your day parts. Like, it's just messy. Yeah. Anyway, I too took a class like that.
Uh-huh.
But it became apparent that I was just enough in between those two spaces of like, I just want broad stroke history information, and I can't, I mean, to this day, like, no, on the calculus. Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend that I grew up with who was like, her advanced degree is in mathematics, and she's always like, no, math is, you know, it's graspable, and I'm like, girl, no.
Yeah.
But there was one day that is a formative, kind of painful memory. Not painful. Painful is not the right one, but I still like get the cringe, the stress cringe when it happens, where I was like, there was a formula that our teacher had introduced,
mm-hmm.
and it included an element that was negative for no reason that was explained. And I kept begging him to explain why that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the class was just like, just shut up and accept it. And I'm like, I don't understand this concept. There's a random negative in the mix here. It's really, I cannot move past this. And I just became the scourge of that class. And I did not want to be, but I also did not understand what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
So I was like, please just explain it to me. And he didn't really want to. He was like, I can't. That's more advanced math. And I'm like, okay, but try.
Right.
He's like, that's
right.
Not this class. Like, I'm not even shading the teacher on this one. It just was like, there was no space for me. I couldn't do the higher maths, and I couldn't just accept the things they were telling us in the more theoretical maths. And so it was stressy.
I will say that anytime I've talked about my lifelong struggles with arithmetic on the show, we get an email from somebody that tells me I'm reinforcing sexist stereotypes about women being bad at math. And I just want to say, I'm not making this up. I have literally struggled with arithmetic since I was a child. I still count on my fingers, and I'm 48 years old. So please don't send me emails telling me I'm a sexist stereotype. This is my actual human experience.
Here, I'll counter this.
Okay.
With the example of my beloved, who I love very, very much. But, like, he wants to stay away from math at almost every expense. Like, there's a thing, we have gotten to this point where, like, there is a joke at our house where, like, I've tried to explain, like, how our property tax is calculated and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we have just told our friends, if you ever, like, need to keep a secret from Brian and want him to leave the room, just say the phrase millage rate.
Yeah,
he will run away. He will run away.
I don't understand that either. I just pay the bill. It's like, whatever.
And my husband is very smart, just as you are very smart. But some people struggle with math, and that's fine. It's fine to admit everybody has strengths and weaknesses. You just got to have a smart math friend. That's all.
Yeah.
I mentioned to you before we started recording that while I was researching, I came across a handful of pretty impassioned discussions about the metric system. Because I hadn't really thought about it from this perspective before. You know, we in the U.S., as we said in the episode, have not made it our official system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of expected that we're all over the map. But then this goes back to the thing I said at the top of the show about Britain still having some things that are not metric.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading this, one of the many discussions of it, where there are a lot of people who are like, we either need to get metric or we need to not, but we need to get metric. Like,
mm-hmm.
we can't stop it. And they mentioned that, like, there was, you know, the effort, the decision made that the UK would switch over to metric. And then I can't find the exact quote, but one writer basically said, we got halfway there and then we just got stuck and never moved again. And so there are a lot of things that are in metric,
mm-hmm.
but then there are a lot of things that are still using the old imperial. And that is more confusing when we say we are a metric country.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these are very impassioned. and like really, really highly critical of various government entities for not pushing this harder. But I also found some pretty impassioned ones written here in the U.S. where people are like, we really need to like make it official. Like, yes, there are people using it, particularly in like science communities, engineering, et cetera. But like, I remember, I don't know if you had this happen when you were a kid.
Maybe.
In the 70s, there was a moment.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we are switching to metric. We're going to start teaching kids metric. And I remember, and I was quite small. I was probably like second or third grade. I was little. And I remember us kids being like, this is very hard and confusing because it is a completely different system.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly it went away and we never had to try to learn it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like there was this push of like, if we teach the next generation the metric system, they'll get it. They'll be kilogrammers forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, ouch, hard. And they just gave up instantly. And I don't know what happened there.
I don't know if I remember learning it in the context of like, we were potentially going to start using only the metric system. But I definitely did learn the metric system in school. And then like middle and high school science classes, like all the science measurements were in metric measurements. So it was like, I've always been using both in different contexts.
Yeah. I don't know if the U.S. will ever get its act fully together in this way or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, I'm all for a giant sea change. I'm one of those people that loves change.
You want some Swatch internet time.
I want Swatch internet time, but I also just like, I like the fresh start of a big change. I would love it if there were a week where we were like, don't anybody measure anything this week. And then the next week we're going to just switch over completely.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing to me.
Yeah.
I know that's not realistic or practical in any way. But I do think, like, you kind of got to rip the Band-Aid off. It's going to have to be like that. This whole, like, slow ramp is why Britain is, like, stuck in this weird situation where they're trying to slowly, I was about to say inch forward, because I mean, when you think about that, right, that's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
A foot is 12 inches. What?
Mm-hmm.
That's random.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you had said, like, learning about a base 12 system. I feel like I'm a little better at a base 12 system than the average person because of what? Sewing. Because it's like you calculate everything by a yard. So
right.
It's like 12, 24, 36 going forward. Like that's how your brain has to do it anyway when you're measuring out fabric sometimes if you're doing big pieces.
Uh-huh.
So I think I could survive in that world a little, but we shouldn't have to. listen, if you want to do creative stuff, math is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why I feel like I need to understand math more than the average person who says, no, I'm more on the arts and language side because I've needed it for designing things and like executing patterns and figuring out the circumference of a circle to make a skirt and like... Mm-hmm. These things are important.
Well, and I could do stuff like the equation parts of algebra.
Yeah.
But I would mess up the arithmetic involved.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some of those. I will say Duolingo has just added a math component.
I saw that. I haven't looked at it at all.
I have. And it starts out, I mean, I'm in the like, hi, I'm an adult learner, like just brushing up my skills. And it does start out pretty basic. But what it does that I think is really smart is that it's not like just doing flashcards of multiplication tables or whatever. It's also using visuals so that you think about math in a different way, which I think is really valuable. Like right now, I'm still kind of buzzing through it going, oh, these are baby equations. But like at the same time, there are moments when I go, oh, that's what that looks like, like in a physical space. And that's kind of cool. So I'm hoping it will make my math skills better.
I also know children are taught arithmetic in a very different way now than we were.
Yes. And I will say this. I am not a parent, but I do sometimes find myself getting, I don't know what the word is, dismayed with parents when they just want to complain about their kids' new math. Because then when I talk to people who are much younger who grew up learning it that way, often they have
so much more of a flexible conceptual understanding of math than we got from just memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there is some benefit here.
Right.
At least to some people.
Right.
Like, I know it's hard to help your kid with homework when it's not the way you learned it. I fully grasp the frustration of that. But it doesn't mean the old way was superior.
Right.
And the other thing we have to consider is, like, all people have different learning styles. We've talked about that recently as well. Like, for some people, this new way is going to be a lot easier than the stress of memorizing a multiplication table. That was very stressful for me as a kid. Like, I remember we had to go up to the teacher's desk and she would quiz you through your thing before you could pass on to the next one. And, like, it was just you and the teacher, but you were in the class. And so if you messed up, everybody knew. And then they would be like, you're stupid about the number 12. That whole thing was very stressful.
That, yeah. I'm having flashbacks to flashcards.
Yeah. Flashcards are, can be traumatizing in their own way.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
We talked about Sarah Bradley Fulton, the Daughters of Liberty, this week. I love all these stories about her, even though we can't corroborate a lot of them. I had various little notes that I wrote down. Some of them are just things that I did not have a good place to put in the episode, and some of them were just random things that occurred to me. I read a lot of mentions of people's spinning bees that were happening during the run-up to the Revolutionary War, during all of the protests over British taxation of the colonies. And this was one that I loved, but I was like, this feels redundant. It does not actually add anything to the episode. And I put it over here and says, this is from the New York Journal from May 30th, 1768. Quote, "What a glorious example Newport has set us.
Rouse, oh my countrymen. We are well informed that one married lady and her daughter of about 16 have spun full 60 yards of good fine linen cloth, nearly a yard wide, since the 1st of March, besides taking care of a large family. The linen manufacture is promoted and carried on with so much spirit and assiduity among all ranks that we are assured there is scarcely enough flax to be had in town to supply the continued consumption of that article. The rouse, oh my countrymen, particularly got me. There were a couple of details that I found in the book that was written by her great-great-great-great granddaughter, which is called A Woman Fearing Nothing, The Story of Sarah Bradley Fulton, a Revolutionary War Heroine. I went to the Medford Public Library in person to read that because there are three copies of it in libraries in my area, two in Medford and one in Revere. And one of the details was that the first house that Sarah Bradley Fulton and her husband lived in Medford might have been one that they rented from Isaac Royal.
Oh, wild.
Which, yeah, was kind of a fascinating little detail. I mean, it would make sense because the Royals were super rich and owned a bunch of property in Medford.
It might have been harder to find a house not owned by the Royals.
Right. They did eventually buy a house of their own, but they seemed to have been renting one when they first moved there. And the other is there are a couple of different accounts of a later visit from Lafayette. Like, Lafayette made another trip and was in Medford, and she went to go see him. And in one account, he was at dinner, and she was waiting a long time, and she finally just got tired of waiting and just went into the dining room and kind of berated him. And the other account was, like, more... Did not quite make it sound as, you know, rude as that did, but I had trouble kind of puzzling that out. And I was like, I don't need to find a place to wedge this into here.
I will confess to you, in what might be sacrilegious to many people, that every time I hear about Lafayette, mm-hmm. all I can think of are the dogs from Aristocats.
Okay.
which are named Lafayette and Napoleon, and they're funny, funny hound dogs. Lafayette, are you awake? It's just like the best.
Yeah.
I fixated on two things in this episode. One being the mysterious vessels that were used to serve George Washington and Lafayette, how those seem to be different.
Yeah.
And I, in my head, of course, I've already put together a hilarious comedy of, like, I don't know where that punch bowl is. Just give him this one. But the other thing is that I now kind of want to make a very rum forward drink called potation.
Yeah. The word potation. I loved that. I went down just a little path. Forgotten is not the right word. But like the prevalence of rum in the colonial economy, just like it was not at the top of my mind as I was working on this.
Yeah.
And so it just mentioned the far-famed product of that town. And I was like, wonder what was the far-famed product? Was it apples? I don't know why apples was like what. And then I was like, oh, no, it was Medford rum. It was definitely rum.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you live in that area-ish.
Uh-huh.
Does Medford still have a lot of like rum distilleries? Are there...
I don't know about Medford specifically, but there are distilleries in this area, and there are distilleries that make and market something that they market as like Medford rum.
Interesting.
But I don't know offhand if they are distilleries that are physically located in Medford. So when we talk about like researching queer history, mm-hmm. it often involves a lot of reading between the lines. And what I'm about to say is not that. It is me making something up.
Okay.
Based on no evidence.
Okay.
Like, no concrete evidence, really.
Tracy's historical fanfic.
This is absolutely Tracy's historical fanfic, 100%. We have Eliza M. Gill and we have Helen T. Wilde. They both knew each other. They both never got married. They both never had any children. One of them lived in her family's home in Medford for like 6 decades until moving to Waltham for reasons I don't know. And the other lived in her father's house for a long time and then lived with a brother. There are a bajillion reasons that this could be these two women's life story. But I 100% just wrote a mental romance of these two women, like these two women, school teachers and then City of Medford employees, also local historians and founders of the local DAR. I just made a whole love story about them. And if anyone is descended from members of that, you know, other members of their family and is like angry about, like, I made up a whole little love story in my head.
Aww.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
They had a significant age gap, right?
They did have a significant age gap.
I mean, not that
gap.
That's like a determiner.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to like, I'm trying to come along in your fanfic and like, you know, make the picture in my head. In my head, the fanfic that plays out is that they both had a crush on John Fulton.
Okay. That could also be true.
It's just the imagery of the arm in arm with some analyst. I'm like, oh, were they like a gentleman caller? They're Southern in my fanfic also, apparently. They're Blanche Dubois. or they're Blanche Devereaux, rather. Or Blanche Dubois. But yeah, I love it that you have a rich tapestry of information that you're bringing
a whole thing. You know, we have no letters, no journals, no anything like that I know of from either of them. Again, this is I don't really encourage making things up to that level about people from history, but I had a little let's make a love story moment. Also, I did not end up putting this in in the episode because it wound up just feeling ancillary. There are some people who I think have misread the Helen T. Wilde account as saying that the place where people prepared for the Boston Tea Party was not her brother's house in Boston. It was their house in Medford. And this, like, the first couple of things that I read made it sound like it was at her family home in Medford. And I was like, this does not fully make sense to me. Because, like, there was a lot of traffic between Medford and Boston, but, like, still it was a way to right. get from. And I was like, this, the just, like, the timeline wasn't really, like, were they at a meeting and did they come back to the Medford and then they
right,
went to the
I see what you're saying.
Or did they go to the meeting in their quote Indian dress? Like it was not really adding up for me. And running parallel to that, there is a transit project in Boston called the Green Line Extension. And the Green Line Extension is a line of the T that runs out to Medford that was in development for a bajillion years. Nobody thought that it was actually, maybe not nobody. A lot of people thought the Green Line Extension is never happening. And then the Green Line Extension did happen. It got built. It was built so badly that a bunch of the rail is too close together now and has to be redone. And so as I was like thinking through these things that were like, and people were, you know, they were getting ready for the Boston Tea Party at their house in Medford. I was like, this is like, there's like a Green Line Extension joke that's coming out of this of like the process of getting back and forth between Medford and Boston for the sake of the Boston Tea Party. And then I eventually was like, oh, I think people are misunderstanding this passage in this article that was written, you know, in the 18 whatever. So its use of language is a little slightly different than today.
I like that your brain was like, good luck with that. Like,
yeah, good luck with getting on the Green Line. I will walk for miles to avoid getting on the Green Line. It is my least favorite line of the MBTA rail network. when I went to the Medford Public Library to read that book, I did not get on the Green Line. I walked there from Somerville. anyway, I enjoyed researching this episode. I'm not planning to go on any of these commemorations.
No.
No, it's just, it is exactly at the window that if I were exposed to some illness there, I would carry it directly to my very high-risk mother. So.
Yeah, don't do that. Not worth it.
No. I am in the avoid unnecessary crowds phase right when that is happening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, because I don't want to bring the flu or COVID or any of the other things that are circulating to my mom for Christmas. So anyway, happy Friday. If you're going to this stuff down at the harbor this weekend, man, I hope it's great. I hope nobody reenacting is in, quote, Indian dress. We should not be doing that.
Ooh, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
I know there's a historical precedent, but we're living now in the year 2023. We don't have to make that choice again. You can send us a note if you'd like. We're at historypodcast@iheartradio.com. And we'll be back with a Saturday Classic on Belinda Sutton tomorrow. Something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.